Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do labels matter? Let's find out. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is July 17th. My name is Rebecca, and I'm happy to be on the show. First, I'd like to welcome Peter to join me.
Hello, Rebecca. Hello, everyone. Nice to be here.
Peter, today we have a very interesting article, and the title is Made in Europe.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is interesting. Like, this is not something we usually think about, but today we'll be talking about the importance of names and labels.
Yes, I remember growing up seeing the label sometimes on my clothing, made in the USA, or made in this country, made in that country. And it gave you a sense, just looking at those simple words, of what kind of product you were holding in your hand, whether it was sort of, you know, very nice or maybe not so nice or more expensive or less expensive, just from where it was made.
Peter, that's a really good point. I remember as a child, I would take vacations with my parents to Canada because my father is Canadian. I am Canadian, but I did not live in Canada growing up. So they would take us for vacations in Canada and go visit my grandparents in Quebec, Canada. And I remember every time we'd go to the department store to buy things, my mom would keep looking for made in Canada items. Mm. Like, if she would want to buy stuff for my dad's staff, it had to be made in Canada. It could not be made in other countries because the gift would mean so much more if it had a made in Canada label. And so that really drilled into me the importance of labels and countries of origin. And I want to ask you, Peter, like today, now as we're, you know, full grown adults, when you buy things, do you consider the product's country of origin? Do you consider where the product is made in determining whether that product is worth your money?
You know, honestly, no. I mean, it'll be an interesting detail, and if I just can't decide between this and another product, I might, you know, where it was made might be the tipping point, but only if the two products were otherwise so equal in quality. Today, I look at, it's really what company made it.
Because it's more the brand.
The brand, exactly. Because brands these days, the big brands, are multinational.
Yes.
They have factories in multiple countries. So to say that something was made here or made there does not tell me as much as the brand itself does, whether this was made by, you know, brand X or brand Y. Oh, it's a brand Y thing. Oh, well, let me get the brand Y one because they're, you know, they make good quality stuff wherever they make it.
Peter, that is actually a really interesting and important point. Like these days, we have, like brands have done such a good, like brands or companies have done such a good job of branding themselves.
Yeah.
Like to brand something just means at first you are just like, for example, shoes, running shoes. At first you're just another running shoe company. And then you the running shoes come out of a factory. I mean, they look nice, but running shoes pretty much look about the same. And then this running shoe company, because it has a Nike logo on it, suddenly you can charge from $30 to $200.
Yeah.
And that's what branding is. Branding is when that logo, that mark, that company name means something.
Right, yeah.
It's the same product. It's two companies. It could be Nike and its competitor, and the competitor is a company we've never heard of. But I will pay $200 for that Nike pair of shoes.
Yeah.
But for the no-name brand or the brand I've never heard of, $30 max.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Peter, I think you make a really great point. I think for most things, I don't look so closely at country of origin. But for the more expensive items, like, for example, buying a car,
mm-hmm.
I will look at the country of origin,
mm-hmm.
of where that product was shipped from. But then again, this is another article in advance in the future. It's maybe country of origin is not as important these days because the components all come from somewhere else.
That's the thing. We're all so interconnected these days that you may recognize, to use your example of cars, that a particular car manufacturer originated in a particular country. And, you know, it and that country has these values associated with consumer products or whatnot. But we know that the car itself that you're about to buy and drive off the lot may not have been made in that country. It was just made by a company from that country that originated in that country. But where exactly the car was made, where the parts came from, it's hard to pin down sometimes.
It's really hard to pin down. But we will get into all this today and tomorrow as we talk about the Made in Europe brand. So let's get into our first reading for today.
Made in Europe. A trustworthy label could be a boost for Europe's economy. As the US and China battle over technology, tariffs, and global influence, one question still looms for Europeans. What is Europe's edge? That was the question recently posed by 21st Century, a Copenhagen-based think tank that collaborates with policymakers and thought leaders to explore the future of Europe. According to Johanna Fabren, managing director and partner at 21st Century, the answer lies in the EU's regulatory backbone. Think GDPR-level data protection, rigorous environmental standards, and food safety rules. From a consumer perspective, knowing that if something is made in Europe, there will not be arsenic in it. There's that trust that is important, she says. To convey that trust, the team has proposed a Made in Europe label that would signal quality, safety, and adherence to European standards. Similar to the CE, Conformité Européenne label, which signifies that a product meets EU health, safety, and environmental protections, companies could display it on products to help consumers make informed decisions. The ultimate goal? To elevate the European brand as one that is trusted.
Peter, we start today's article by talking about kind of a trade war.
Kind of, yeah. The US and China battle. They battle over technology, tariffs. I think we all know what tariffs are by now, but nevertheless, it's a tax on goods coming into or out of the country as a tariff, and global influence. Yet in the midst of this battle, one question still looms for Europeans, not for the US or China, but for Europeans. And loom simply means that something that is likely to happen very soon. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. And that question that looms is, what is Europe's edge? Edge can mean a lot of things. Here it means, what is their particular advantage?
Yes. And to be more precise, what is their competitive advantage? Because
right.
That is the thing that sets you apart from your competitors. What are you better than your competitors in? Is it price? Is it quality? What aspect are you actually better than your competitors? And this question was actually posed by 21st Century. And the name, Peter, I just love it. Because this is such a popular name around the 1990s and around 2000, like before we got into the 21st century.
Yes.
This seemed like to be a very hip name. 21st century, because we're talking about the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, now we are in the 21st century.
Now it's just the present.
So if you're a company that is named the 21st century, you are definitely older than 30 years old. You're definitely, you were made before 1990, most likely. But let's talk about this 21st century. It's a think tank, and it's based in the capital of Denmark, Copenhagen. So what is a think tank?
Right, a think tank. Good term to know there. It's basically just a group of people with experience or knowledge of a particular subject who work to produce ideas and give advice to governments, to institutions of higher learning, to society in general, a think tank. It's, just people who think about our society and the problems it has and how we might improve them. I don't think they get paid for this Or maybe they do.
They do get paid from the government agency or the company that is using their service.
Ah, okay.
So the think tanks, they do get paid. But the think tanks usually hire leading researchers and scholars.
Right.
So the think tanks usually have like top professors, top researchers from leading universities and research assistants. And usually think tanks, they're not 100% politically neutral.
Right.
Because like, for example, in the U.S., we can think of a few, right? Like there's some think tanks that are more to the left, and there's some think tanks that are more to the right, right? Like I think we can all think of examples. Can you think of some examples of prominent U.S. think tanks?
There's the Heritage Foundation.
That's very conservative.
Which is very conservative.
More yeah. Republican.
Right, right.
Yes.
Just off the top of my head, I can't think of any others by name. But yeah, there are several and they spread across the political spectrum.
Yes. So think tanks, they are supposed to be more neutral, but usually they do have some political leanings. So if, for example, if I'm a Republican, the Republican Party in the U.S., perhaps I would use a think tank like the Heritage Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I would not use a think tank that is very left-leaning because
right.
it doesn't align with my values.
Right.
So there are all sorts of think tanks and they have the time and the space to really spend time doing research that could be valuable to people who make policy,
right.
to policymakers, to leaders, to society.
Right,
yeah.
right. In the days of kings, the think tank would be the wise men of the court.
Yes.
You know, the philosophers, maybe even the scientists, the magicians, but the thinkers that would advise the king about what to do with the country.
Yes, and today we have these leading think tanks. Okay, so the 21st century. And then the question they've been thinking of is, what is Europe's advantage? And then let's talk to somebody from the 21st century. We have Joanna Fabrin. So what does Joanna say?
Right. Well, she's managing director and partner at 21st Century. And she says that the answer to this question, what is Europe's edge, lies in the EU, the European Union's regulatory backbone.
Okay.
Regulatory meaning, you know, how the government regulates things going on in society, particularly in the economic environment. And backbone, good word there, backbone meaning the most important or the strongest part of something. The backbone is a casual term for the human spine, for, you know, the bone in our back. And as we all know, if you injure your spine, if you injure your backbone, then you will have problems throughout your body. And so it's a very important part of something, and she's using it figuratively here.
And so when she talks about, so she thinks one of EU's edge or its advantages is its really strong regulations, right? Like regulatory backbone, beautiful language, which just means is really strong regulations. It has very strong regulations on what? And then the first one is GDPR level data protection. So we can see from our specialized terms, GDPR, it's just basically a legal framework that protects privacy,
right.
protects people's privacy. And that is really important, especially today, right? I was just talking this morning, Peter, with one of our colleagues. She said she doesn't use any of the AI language models. Like she doesn't use ChatGPT, she doesn't use Gemini. And I was like, why not? It's so useful. Why don't you use this? And she's like, well, I don't want these big platforms to have all my information.
All my data.
Because when you talk to them, when you talk to the ChatGPT, when you talk to Gemini, like you're giving information about yourself just from the questions you ask, right? Because
right.
the questions that you, Peter, ask and the questions Rebecca would ask is completely different. So just from the queries you're asking these language models, they will know a lot about you. So that's about, so we're talking about data protection, protecting your privacy. And then what else is the EU regulation environment known for?
Right. Well, they also regulate environmental standards. They have rigorous, it says here, environmental standards, which rigorous meaning very careful, very thorough, very exact. And also food safety rules, making sure that the food you eat is going to not harm you. It's not going to expire or it hasn't already expired, that sort of thing.
Yes. So Europe is known for, they have regulations on everything, which means that if you want to export your product to Europe, you got to meet all the requirements. If you don't meet the requirements, Europe won't let you in. So Europe has some of the toughest regulatory environment in the world. And then here it talks about the data protection, protecting your privacy and the environment. I mean, Europe is the leader in the environment for decades. Like, they've been ahead of everybody in terms of environmental regulations and now food safety rules. And then, so then she gives an example, which is kind of interesting. She says, from the consumer perspective, knowing something that is made in Europe, you know that there won't be arsenic in it. Now, that's pretty extreme, right? What is arsenic?
Well, arsenic is a strong poison. It does occur naturally in small amounts in many things found in nature. But if you have too much of it in something, then, yeah, it can be a deadly poison. And I would think she is using it somewhat in an exaggerated way to make her point here. But there are, I think, some products out there that have what we call trace amounts of arsenic in a trace amount, meaning a very, very small amount, so small that it's like it's not there, but technically it is there. And she's saying that if something is regulated by the European Union, you can know that there will not be arsenic in it. If it says there's no arsenic in it, there is no arsenic in it.
So the label is trustworthy. So, you know, like, this whole point is that label means something.
Yeah.
So I actually think, you know, when I see you, I think of Shakespeare, because, like, you have a very strong background in theater and you can quote Shakespeare very well. Do you know that quote I'm looking for?
About arsenic or about regulation?
About labels.
About labels.
Like, the famous quote by Juliet in Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yes. A rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
And what is Juliet trying to say?
Yeah. Juliet is saying she's thinking about Romeo, whom she just met and fallen deeply in love with. But the problem is, he is a member of a household that her household is at war with, basically. Her family is at war with Romeo's family. And so she is in this monologue you're thinking of. She's thinking, oh, Romeo, Romeo, why are you Romeo? You know, why are you from the family of my enemy? Because a rose, what's in a name? Romeo is your name. What's in a name? A rose, what we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. If we called a rose a stink blossom, it would still smell beautiful and sweet. Names, labels, they aren't important when it comes to matters of the heart, is basically what Juliet's saying.
Yes, but this is a young Juliet, right?
Oh, she's like a teenager. Yeah,
she's
both
a teenager,
teenagers.
Probably 15 or 16.
Yes,
she's very young, so she thinks that names are not important. But
she probably doesn't work for 21st century.
She doesn't work for 21st century, and she is not as old as you and I, right? So as we get older, we realize that names and labels are extremely important. That last name means something.
Yes.
That brand name means something. The country of origin has something.
Yeah, Romeo means Romeo.
Romeo means Romeo, and because he's a, what's his name?
Montague. Yeah, and she's a Capulet.
And because he's a Montague, you can't marry him.
Not as a Capulet.
Not as a Capulet. You can't marry a Montague. Well, let's get back to branding. So to convey that trust, the team, we're talking about 21st Century, the think tank, they've proposed a Made in Europe label. So they want some label that shows this product is made in Europe. And if you see this label, what does that show? What does it signify?
Right. It signifies quality, it signifies safety, and it signifies adherence to European standards. Adherence meaning just it follows them. It sticks to European standards. All just if you see this Made in Europe label.
Yes. And basically, here it mentions another label called the CE, and it's basically a French name here. The CE label, it just means that the product meets EU health, safety, and environmental protection. And I'm thinking that over time, this Made in Europe label is going to basically take over the CE label. This label will be the newer label that comes out. And everybody looks at that label, they know this is Made in Europe. And the ultimate goal, what is the goal of this label?
Right. The ultimate goal role is to help consumers, to help people buying things make informed decisions, and to elevate the European brand as one that is trusted, to elevate, meaning to make it better than before, to make it more important, to lift it up like an elevator, to elevate the European brand.
Yeah, this word elevate is so much, like you see it everywhere these days.
Yes.
Like it's everywhere. Elevate your fitness.
Yes.
Elevate your English. Elevate this, elevate that. This is like a new hot term that is often used by businesses, but it just means to raise the level. Well, let's get into our second reading, and we'll talk a little bit more about this new label, this new mark. Let's get into our second reading.
A symbol of trust. Made in Europe was developed in collaboration with British studio Dada. But it is more than a label, it's a certification, a symbol of trust, says Alice Shaughnessy, head of operations at Dada. Shaughnessy's team worked hard to de-brandify the design so it reads less like a corporate logo and more like a stamp of approval. They cycled through dozens of proposals, from a word mark spelling out EUR to the words Made in Europe, set into a circle, before landing on 12 stars arranged in the shape of a lowercase e. By referencing the quintessential European symbol found on the EU flag, the design creates a clear association with the European institution. It conveys clout while remaining instantly recognizable. It was important for us to be able to sit within that hall of great European design in some small way, says Shaughnessy.
Let's talk about this Made in Europe label. So, which design studio made it?
Right. Well, there's this British design studio called Dada, or sometimes Data, and that's named after an art movement in the early 20th century, a sort of avant-garde art movement. But they are a British design studio, and this label, they helped develop it. And they say that it's more than a label. It's a certification. A certification meaning something that, basically, something you get a certificate for, and it means that whoever gets the certificate, they've met a certain standard. They've accomplished a certain thing. We get a diploma when we graduate from high school or from college, and that's just another word for a certificate.
Yeah, I actually think a lot about food when you're shopping in the supermarket. Like, eggs are a really important part of my diet. I love eating eggs because you get lots of protein from eggs. And on the egg carton, like, for example, here locally, there's a symbol that they put to show that it's safe to eat, that it's approved by the government agency. So that's like a certificate. Yeah. Like, it's a label, but it's not just a label. It stands for something. It stands for quality. It stands that it passed the government inspection.
Right.
Yeah, so that's certification. So here it goes on to say a symbol of trust. And this is said by the head of operations. So she's the CEO at Dada. Her name is Alice Shaughnessy. And when I say Shaughnessy, Peter, I think of my days in Vancouver.
Hmm.
Because Shaughnessy, historically, is one of the most expensive roads in Vancouver.
Really?
The houses in Shaughnessy are the most expensive houses in Vancouver.
Wow.
For many decades. I don't know if it's still true, but when I was in university, Shaughnessy is right next to the University of British Columbia, UBC, where I went to university. And it's the most expensive road. So as soon as I saw this name, I was thinking Vancouver. It's a British name. A lot of names in Vancouver are British. And Alice Shaughnessy, so she works at Dada. She says that symbol is trust. And then, so they work hard. So her team worked hard to do what?
Right. This is an interesting point here. Shaughnessy's team worked hard to de-brandify the design of the Made in Europe label, so that it reads less like a corporate logo and more like a stamp of approval. So a couple ideas in there, a couple vocab words. Brand, we've already talked about, and brand is usually a noun, but sometimes you can make it a verb, as with many nouns today. So if you brandify something, you make it a brand, into a brand. So to de-brandify something means to reverse that process, to undo it, to not make it a brand or seeming like a brand. And that's what they're trying to do with the Made in Europe design here.
It's so interesting because brands pay millions of dollars to make a brand, like a brand like Nike. We look at the swoosh, or that we know it's Nike. We see the big M, we know it's McDonald's.
Yep.
Brands spend millions of dollars to make sure that brand is recognized worldwide.
Right.
But here they're trying to de-brandify it. They want to make it more like it's not just a brand. This is the government stamp of approval.
Right. They still want it to have that immediate visual impact, but they don't want it to convey that, you know, something in terms of who made this, but more the certification that we were just talking about, the idea that it is a symbol of trust.
Yeah. And then they went through many different proposals from just the word EUR. And then they set out, what does that, this logo look like?
Yeah, it's ultimately, as you can see there on the page, it's this little lowercase e, English lowercase e, made out of the 12 stars of the European Union flag. And they've just taken two of those stars and sort of bent them into the center of the circle to make the lowercase e. It's very clever.
It's very clever because it clearly shows it's European. When we see those 12 stars and we see that little e, you can associate with the EU.
Right.
So it's actually very wise. And I think why there's 12 stars is on the flag is there were originally 12 member states. There was 12 countries that were part of the founding members of the EU.
Right.
But now it has ballooned to 27 and is growing as more countries apply to join the EU. So there's 27 countries in total right now, including all of Western Europe except the United Kingdom. The UK left the EU in 2020. The Baltic states, that's Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. We have Nordic states, Sweden, Finland. And then Eastern Europe, we have Poland, Romania, Czech, and Slovakia, and Slovenia. So these are the 27 member states. Well, and then it goes to talk more about this logo. It says, by referencing the quintessential European symbol found on the EU flag. So what is something that is quintessential?
Quintessential, big long word there, but it basically just means something that is the perfect example of something. Like you might say, if you're a film fan, the quintessential Steven Spielberg movie is Raiders of the Lost Ark, or maybe
Jaws.
E.T. or Joe. Well, yeah, you could debate this, but you know, what is the movie made by Spielberg of all his movies that is just a perfect example of his style, of his way of making movies? And whether that's Jaws or Raiders of the Lost Ark or E.T. is up for debate, but that's a good way to understand quintessential.
Good word to learn, quintessential. And we talk more about this label. It conveys clout while remaining instantly recognizable. So something that conveys clout, it just shows there's power or there's authority. So something that has clout. So here it's trying to say that that logo made up of those 12 stars and an E, it shows the power of the EU. Well, friends, this is a fascinating article about names and labels, but we have to end today's program. We will definitely come back and talk more about the Made in Europe brand tomorrow. So please join me and Peter. So that's it for today. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.